I didn't realize I was coaching. I thought they were going to send out a schedule of the.
Oh, there is. Yeah, the triads came out a couple of weeks ago. It was attached to your.
Okay.
Sorry, Amy. Yeah, it was attached to the last class's reminder email.
Okay, I missed the last class. That was maybe the issue. I wasn't here.
Okay. Yep. You are scheduled today to be a coach.
All right. Nothing like going first.
Okay. Thank you. All right. Okay, good. So I'm going to start with Nathan because you are the mentor today, Nathan. So everybody else, you're the observers, ATIP and Jim, you're just going to be noticing what's happening in the coaching as if you were maybe going to mentor. How would you do this? Just notice, make a notes for yourself. Nathan, I don't know, you might want to have the competency list in front of you as you're listening to the coaching or not. It's completely up to you how you want to take notes or note down on that document. So for you, Nathan, as the mentor, what are some things that you want to be thinking about today or focusing on as the mentor? Nathan, you're on mute.
Excuse me. I would like to focus on maybe the agreement.
Okay.
And also the closing and presence.
Okay, so those are the things you're going to be watching for. I mean, that those are the things that you are going to notice. You're also going to work with Amy for a few minutes at the beginning of the coaching session and you're going to ask her what she wants to be thinking about or focusing on for her coaching. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then she's going to coach for about 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. You're going to let her know she has 20 minutes exactly for the coaching. Then after that, you have about 10 minutes to be her mentor. Mm-hmm. And then you and I will work together for about 10 minutes. Okay.
Okay. Okay.
Any questions?
What she wants to work on isn't necessarily what I'm looking for, right? It doesn't have to be the same, right?
No. It's going to be up to her to say what she's thinking about for her coaching today. And then you're going to be noticing those competencies or those things in the coaching, right?
Okay.
Yeah. So for your mentoring, So let's go back then and say, so for your mentoring, what do you want to think about?
For me?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to look at agreement, closing, and presence.
All right. Okay. Very good. That's great. Thank you. All right. So everybody, we're going to, everybody except for Amy and who is your client, Amy? Your client is Redeema. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So everybody else, we're going to turn off our videos. And Nathan, you work with Amy a little bit, tee her up. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then Amy will have 20 minutes for the coaching. Okay. Thank you.
Hi, Amy.
Hi, Nathan.
What would you like to work on today in terms of your coaching?
I would probably say presence. Mm-hmm. Jumping in, was not actually prepared to be coaching first. So, and I've got a lot going on at work. This is in the middle of my work day. So really trying to switch off and be fully present. Mm-hmm. Might be a challenge for me today. And closing. So the closing structure is kind of new in terms of TOMS and some of those acronyms. I haven't really practiced that a whole lot. So maybe focus on, and to be honest, I'm drawing a blank at the moment. I'm hoping it comes to me. So those would be the two things I would probably want to focus on.
Okay. Your presence and your closing, if I'm correct.
Right.
Okay, thank you. You have 20 minutes to work with your client, so you can begin when you're ready.
Okay, before we actually start, Redeema, do you normally, when you're a client, work with your coach via video or over the phone?
I don't have a hard preference, so I'm happy to do it whatever way you like.
Okay. I actually have never coached via video, so I don't know if the first time I do it is probably the right time, but I'm happy to try it if you would prefer it. I usually normally just do audio.
I'm happy to do audio if that's what you prefer. Honestly, I don't mind. Entirely up to you.
Okay. All right. Well, that's not really part of the session, hopefully, but I appreciate you talking about that with me. If you want to leave your video on, that's fine, but I will take mine off and try to focus. I do tend to take a lot of notes too, so.
No worries. I'll do the same.
Okay.
No problem.
Okay. So let's get our timer here. Hi, Redeema. Thank you for being my client today.
Hi, Amy. Thank you.
So what brings you to coaching today? What would you like to focus on?
Well, first of all, thanks for being my coach today. And I think I would like to focus on how I'm feeling at the moment about I feel as though I'm always kind of catching up. I feel like I'm always in catching up mode rather than being, you know, on top of things. And I never let, you know, I'm always careful not to let any of the plates that I'm spinning fall. But, you know, I just never quite feel like I'm ahead of my to-do list, if that makes sense. I always feel like I'm in catch-up mode. Like there's always 5 extra things that I wish I'd managed to get done today that I just haven't managed to get done. And that's how I feel at the end of most days. And rather than feeling like I've, you know, had a good day and accomplished what I needed to accomplish, I haven't felt that sense of satisfaction of, I did everything I wanted to do for a while. More often than not, it is that feeling of, you know, I forgot. I didn't forget, but like, you know, sometimes I plan something in and then something else comes up and it's, you know, important and I have to prioritize it. So, I mean, I use the word forget, but I never forget. It's always like, you know, in my head, I know I didn't get around to it. And then I end up taking longer to switch off in the evening because I'm still thinking about that thing. And sometimes I'm even thinking, oh, should I just do it just so that I can stop thinking about it? But it eats into my evening time. So that's what I'd like to talk about, I think, is just this niggling, annoying feeling.
Thank you for sharing that with me. I just want to remind you as we get started that today's conversation is confidential. It's going to be kept in confidentiality with myself and everyone that's here on the call and within the recording who watches the recording. And, you know, we have a little under 20 minutes to explore the topic together. And sort of that plate spinning and being able to switch off at the end of the day and getting that sense of satisfaction. I just wanted to inquire at the end of our 20 minutes, what's an ideal success at the end of the 20 minutes? What does that look like?
Maybe just a feeling of easing or a lighter feeling or a, you know, some kind of alternative feeling.
Okay.
a shift in my attitude, perhaps.
Mm. So with that shift in attitude, you know, how will you know that you've gotten that shift at the end of our conversation?
I guess I won't hold on to things in the evening. You know, when it's time for me to switch off, I guess I'll be a bit more ready to switch off instead of holding on to things that I think, I wish I'd managed to get that done.
Gotcha. Other than I know you needing to bring a topic to our discussion today for class, you know, when you were thinking about what to talk about today in class, what about this became a priority? Why is this important now?
Good question. I don't know, I guess it just weighs heavy on me. And I think I'm quite hard on myself sometimes, and or a lot of the time. And I think eventually I just sometimes need to hold myself to account and just shake myself a bit and remind myself and think, oi, stop doing that. And I don't have those opportunities to kind of really reflect in this way very often. So I thought, brilliant, I've got a coaching session coming up. You know, that's the perfect time. Well, actually, to tell you the truth, I realized I had a coaching session coming up when Sherry said it at the start. And I thought, oh God. And then it actually came to me very quickly that this is the obvious thing to talk about, because I think I started even our training session today feeling like, damn it, now I've run out of time to do those, you know, last four things. And I thought, why am I thinking about these four things? I should be, and you know, the exercise we did at the start was really good at making me feel more present again.
Mm.
You know, prior to that, I was thinking, oh, damn, those four things.
So definitely you've spoken to the feeling of you wanting to feel lighter. When asked why it's important, it's because you feel heavy. Tell me more about the heaviness and where that might be coming from.
I think the heaviness is just my demanding expectation of myself, and it's inhuman. It's unrealistic, or it seems realistic, but then, you know, it's only realistic on a perfect day when there are no interruptions and there are no emails that come through that, you know, need to then suddenly be prioritized, and it, you know, rattles any other plan that I may have had to do those other things. Sorry, I've forgotten your question.
It's okay. I was just asking sort of where you thought the heaviness might be coming from.
Coming from myself and my ridiculous expectation of myself.
Anything else coming up for you around that, around the heaviness?
No, just that I really also, as much as I put this pressure on myself, I'm also feeling equally strong about challenging myself on that. So as ready as I am to apply pressure onto myself, I'm, I think at this point, equally ready to tell myself to get lost. Because it's just not, you know, in a funny kind of way, I should really know that it wasn't for lack of trying to do those four things. That more pressing things just, you know, took flight, and mm-hmm. you know, those other things fell to the bottom of the list. So it's, I should really know not to beat myself up because it wasn't me just sat on the sofa watching Netflix. That's not the reason that this didn't happen. You know, I know how hard I work, and I should know to cut myself some slack that it wasn't, you know, it wasn't because of me that I didn't get around to doing those things. But for some reason, I just can't stop thinking about them. And it's different things every day. And these are small, irritating things. And yesterday's was different to today's, but they're still irritating things. And like, oh, those three emails that I really should just respond to. And so, yeah.
You mentioned distractions. Mm-hmm. I think you said they sort of rattle your plans. So your expectations are great if it's a perfect day.
Yeah.
Tell me more about the distractions.
So, you know, it'll be something coming out of, you know, left field, red herring, that I'd never have predicted, but suddenly needs my attention and takes up the time.
Mm-hmm. As we sort of continue to explore the topic, and you're talking about feeling equally strong, so it's sort of this two sides of the coin, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you should know not to beat yourself up, and you know, you're equally hard on yourself with expectations, but now you're also equally ready to sort of take charge and tell yourself to get lost.
Yeah.
So just want to check in and see how you're feeling about what we're exploring and make sure we're going in the right direction for you.
Mm-hmm. I think we are. Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So tell me more about this equally strong Redeema, ready to tell high expectation Redeema to take a hike.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just sick of her. And I think she just, I mean, the high expectation version of myself really just enjoys things being done and walking away thinking, oh, did everything I planned to do today. But real Redeema is the one doing it. And the other Redeema just gets to sit on her high horse and, you know, demand. And it's a bit ridiculous. So you were asking about the you know, I can't remember how you described it, but the more realistic version of myself. And mm-hmm. yeah, I think she's just I think she's the louder voice, and I think there's a balance to be struck there. And I think that's it. I think there's definitely a balance to be struck there. And I think I assume, oh, it has to be all four of these things. Maybe it's a case of, okay, well, out of those four things, if there's one thing that would make me feel better about stopping for the day, that I can just get done just to feel better about stopping for the day, you know, which of those four things would be that one thing? So instead of me doing all of the four things, that balance could be, okay, well, what is the most pressing one thing out of that four, that list of four, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's the balance.
Almost like a negotiation.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you think you could do that more?
I think just by leveling with myself and saying, look, I could day and, you know, finish at 7 p.m. tonight instead, and, you know, get these last few things done. But do I really want to do that? I'm going to miss spending time with my partner. I'm going to miss my own, you know, personal time. So actually just pick one of these things and just shut up and go. Just down tools and be done with it. And it will wait until tomorrow. So I think maybe that's something, actually, the more I'm thinking about it, is maybe I need to just hone in on what is the one thing. Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe it is, you know, just what is the one thing? That's the balance.
What would stop you from honing in on the one thing? What would get in the way of that?
What would get in the way of that? Me just pushing myself relentlessly, which sometimes I do.
It's great self-awareness.
And I think maybe I just do that when I'm, I think maybe sometimes I do that to make myself feel better about something that's gone wrong. It's like, oh, well, if something's gone wrong, I should work 10 times harder to make sure that, you know, to make up for it, to almost compensate myself for it. So I think just switching that off a bit more, maybe.
So on the days where you are able to sort of hone in on the one thing, right, and switch off better sort of at the end of your day, how's that going to feel?
Good. Like, I'm not compromising on my personal life. And equally, I'm not neglecting my own sense of completion in terms of my work. So I think the balance feels good when I think about it.
Okay.
It feels right. And I like that it's a tangible thing. So I'm a very tangible person. So I think when I was saying to you earlier, I want an attitude shift, but I think I'm the kind of person who needs a different doing or a change in doing in order to have an attitude shift, if that makes sense. So this new tangible thing of the one thing, I think is tantamount to an attitude shift.
I can certainly hear the wheels spinning.
Yeah.
Sounds like you have a lot of insight into maybe how to accomplish this shift. Yeah,
I do. Thank you. And that, I think that's it. I think I was seeing it as a very binary, well, you had four things that you wanted to do today, you didn't get around to doing them, fail. But it's not as binary as pass or fail. It's, yeah, you had four things. You didn't get around to doing all four today for a damn good reason. What is the one thing that you would feel better about walking away from your desk right now? You know, what is the one thing that you could do that would make me feel better about walking away from my desk? I like that. I really like that, actually. Thank you.
You're welcome. So This seems like a natural place to end the session. Do you feel you came away with the outcome you were looking for?
Yeah, definitely. And a little bit more, because I was going in hoping for an attitude shift, and I've come out with an attitude shift and a new strategy. So thank you.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure. Thank you for exploring that with me.
Thank you for the time. Thank you.
Okay, Nathan, 35 seconds to spare, it looks like.
Okay, Nathan and Amy, do you want to turn on your cameras so you can work together?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you very much. Well, Amy, in that session, did you think you accomplished what you wanted to accomplish? What you said you wanted to accomplish?
Well, I think with Redeema, it was really easy to be present with her. She's a very calming, interesting spirit about her. So it was that really drew me in. And with her topic, I think we all, you know, at some point or another can relate. So it was really easy, I think, to shift and be present. Think the ending closing went well in terms of wrapping it up on time. I didn't do what I have done in the past, what I've sort of was originally taught years ago of sort of what's your takeaway, you know, how will you, you know, sort of the formula way of doing it. It did still feel a little unnatural to not
it was nice coaching. The
formula. But it feels more organic way to sort of close out sessions and get an agreement from the client that she got what she needed.
Yeah, that was pretty good coaching. But in terms of your presence, how did you feel you're doing that? You said that was a particular point you wanted to work on.
No, I felt like it was good. I sometimes always worry about that. It's one of those things that, you know, kind of before a session, you might sort of worry like, oh, wow, am I really mentally here and ready? But then sort of once you get in it, you know, it's like riding a bike. She made it really easy for me to switch over.
And I heard a lot of that. I heard, you were doing great reflecting, you know, at one point, you asked about, tell me more about the readiness and where it is leading. And I thought that was very helpful to her. It showed that you were with her, you were right there with her. So I think that was very, very, very good. Also, in terms of closing, how do you think that went for you?
Again, I think it went okay. She got what I think she felt whole at the end of the session. Sorry, I dropped my pen. Trying to take notes. But it does, it's more organic the way that we sort of do it now. And I haven't practiced that a whole lot. So it does still feel somewhat uncomfortable to not use the more of a set formula. But I'm getting used to it. And I like it. It's just, I'm still, so for me, I don't know if it was great, but you know, something I'm still working on.
Yeah, I did. You know, you did ask her, did you come away with the outcome you were looking for? And I thought that was a nice way of switching that around. You know, so you asked her what she came away with. You know, and so I thought that was done very well. Yeah, is there anything that you would have done differently looking back now on the session?
I think that it's funny how, you know, I do this a lot myself, go to a coaching session and you think the topic is fairly straightforward and then you realize how deep it is. So when a 20-minute session, I don't know that would have changed a whole lot. I was questioning whether I really should have asked the obstacle question that I asked towards the end. It seemed like it still was good, but I could have maybe gone in a different direction and focused more on the lightness and celebratory, you know, how will she celebrate? How will she feel? Mm-hmm. But you know, I asked it, I can't take it back. So, I think I would question maybe that direction, but okay. No two coaching sessions are alike. You'll never do it the same way again. So,
okay. Anything else?
I don't think so.
You know, but in general, I thought that you did a very good job in terms of, you know, of staying with her. I thought you did a very good job of reflecting back her emotions and where she was feeling, and I felt that you know, as you tracked her, I think she was tracking well with you. So I thought you did a very good job there. And you know, and you keep asking her, you know, tell me more about certain things. And these things I think came true very forcibly. In terms of the closing, you know, I like how you close. At least it was different from the usual formula for me, at least. You know, so I like that. What I would have perhaps like to see it in terms of future action plans. You know, where do you take it now that you have all these great awareness? Where do you take it? So mm-hmm. I think that would have added, you know, just the cherry and the cake as such. But otherwise, mm-hmm. I thought it was well done.
Great, thank you for the feedback. I'm just making a note.
Sure.
Anything else?
In the opening, in the agreement, what could you have done to consolidate it a little more?
I don't know, to be honest. That's kind of my part of my coaching style is mm-hmm. I allow for a lot of what I call clearing mm-hmm. in the beginning. So they talk about what they state sort of what they want to talk about, but I give them that space to mm-hmm. really start to explore it. And as people, they process a lot when they're sharing, right? And they're mm-hmm. speaking things aloud. So I don't know that I would have consolidated. I think it really helped us quickly get to the meat of things. You know, had I not let it go her clear as much, I might not have realized that her own unrealistic expectations was kind of driving some of the, I guess, dissatisfaction with getting things done. Mm-hmm. I might've gone in a different direction of, well, how can you get more things done? Or how can you mm-hmm. Identify distractions and then deal with those? And it would have been more transactional. Mm-hmm. I did flip it though. Normally I start with it's confidential and, you know, you're free to explore sort of thing, but I started the other way and mm-hmm. then brought in the reminder and the time. Mm-hmm. So that was new for me, but I don't know that I would have changed anything.
Mm-hmm. There was also a point when you said to have great self-awareness, what could you have done differently there rather than be that directive?
I'm not sure, to be honest. Do you have a recommendation?
Rather than put it in on her, perhaps it could have, more in a question form to get the same thing from her. I'm not sure how you would have done that right now, but I was wondering when you said it, it hit me, as I was thinking about it, how could I have gotten that from her? Rather than directly telling her about it. So, mm-hmm.
So maybe ask a question instead.
Yeah, so that may be something. At least that was that would that that hit me like that.
Okay. Yeah. I think that was kind of my way of doing some acknowledgement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, I can definitely think of a question next time. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's all I have for you right now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. We got some great notes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. I'm coming back. It sounded like you were completing. You were finishing up there, Nathan. Yes.
That's all right. It's a weird situation to be in, where you're learning and trying to be a critic, and you know it's a weird situation, right?
I understand all the layers. Yes, I understand. Thank you. Thanks for being our first mentor in this group. So nicely done. Really nicely done, Nathan. Okay, so how was this brief little 10-minute mentoring for you? How did you do?
I think I did all right. I could have done better, obviously. And I think I go for the facts right on. And I think I could have started more by, you know, praising her for her good coaching. And when I caught myself, I tried to bring it in after, but I think I like to be, Amy, good job. And like that. And before I jump I saw that immediately, don't go for the jugular so soon. So I saw that and I was wondering again, thinking, how much am I imposing my style, what I can say, on her, as opposed to letting her style come out and see it. So that was a battle with me all the time.
Yeah, good. Those are such great noticings, I think, Nathan. I think you're right that to be more, in a way, acknowledging of what you noticed that she did well. And, yes, I agree with you. I think it's always good to be really positive and noticing the brilliance of your mentee. What did you notice that she did really well? So I think you're right about that. I wouldn't say that you went for her jugular. I wouldn't put it quite that way, but I understand what you're saying. And I think you're right about that. The question about, are you imposing your style? When you notice something, it's fine to bring that up with a mentee. It may not be style. It might be an actual competency, right? That you want to talk with your mentee about. The one thing I would say about that, let me start. Before I say that, I want to tell you what I think you did well as the mentor. And I think you, you listened well. You asked Amy about those two things that she mentioned at the beginning, her presence and the closing. And you made sure to ask about those. How did you do? And you were able to talk about those, and listen to what she had to say, how she did with those two things that were important to her. So I think you did that very well. What do you think?
Yes, I did. I think I agree with you there. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, good. You asked, was there anything you would have done different? I think that's a fine question to ask, right? Then you did say you did a good job of staying with her. You reflected her emotion. You tracked with her. And then you said you liked how she closed. And you said you might have liked to see, where do you take it as a question at the end, right? Mm-hmm. So what I might have, my note for you, Nathan, would be to then ask her what she thinks about that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, be a little more conversational.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
So not only say you should have done that, ask, don't just put down something like an edict, but converse about it.
Converse about it. Yeah, because and so you might have said, I noticed that something I think might be important at the end would be to ask, where are you going to take this? What do you think about that, Amy? So yeah, be more, converse about it so that you can have this, because she may have said, well, I thought I did that or this, or, you know, who knows what she'd say, but just to make sure that it's not just a sort of an edict coming down from you.
Good point.
Okay. Okay. And there's one other point where I saw that too, Nathan, I would say, and that is at the end, you said to Amy, you said great self-awareness. What could you have done differently rather than be that directive? You know, again, I think that that's a little bit of, this is my interpretation, a little bit of judgment on your part that that was being directive. So you might just, again, have the conversation and just say, was that directive for you when you asked that question?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was trying to correct her on the point and I made the mistake of correcting her on the point.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay.
I totally agree.
Okay. Okay. Good. Good. Because then it opens up to a conversation around this whole issue of when do we acknowledge and how we acknowledge, and is that being directive when we sort of, when we make a comment like that, you know, that's the conversation you're wanting to have with your mentee, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. Good. And then the only other thing I would say, Nathan, is at the end, you know, you might ask her, what is she taking away, or what is she going to take with her into her next coaching session, something like that. Okay, good. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Definitely.
I want to ask Amy really quickly. Do you have any feedback for Nathan? What was it like to be mentored by Nathan, please?
Well, it's certainly hard to be the first one. So thank you, Nathan, for doing that.
Yeah.
I guess you didn't volunteer, but I appreciate you stepping up. I thought it was great. There was some feedback, and, you know, asking some questions made me sort of think through and see, was that really being directive? how could I have acknowledged her differently? The action plans, totally fair point. We ran out of time, obviously. So I definitely wanted to stick to time, especially for class. If it was a one-on-one, I might have gone over a little. So I thought that he asked me about how I felt about how things went and acknowledged me about certain things. I think what I've experienced in the past, because I've gone through a mentor coach program pretty recently, Jamie, with you guys, right before this. So I think maybe what could be nice is if maybe the feedback was brought to a specific competency. Oh, I saw you did this competency really, really well when you asked this question, or you whatever, or maybe with this competency when you asked me questions about how I could have done something different. I think that would be my only thing that I felt like could have just added to the feedback.
Okay.
Excellent.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for coaching also when you didn't know you were coaching today. Good job.
Welcome. Thank you, Redeema, for being my client.
Yeah. Okay, good. Great. So I think that Jamie has let me know. I think they're ready to have us come back. So before we do that though, I want to just ask you one final question, Nathan. What are you taking away from our little mentor conversation that you and I just had?
I'm taking away that I got to, I want to be technically proficient. So I'm taking away that I need to always remember the person.
Okay. Perfect. That's so great. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. All right. All right. So we are going to be going back, rejoining the other room, and then we're going to, after that, we'll be taking a quick break, and then we'll be coming. I don't know who's coming back with this group, although, yes, I do. It will be Redeema, coaching Samantha with Melissa as the mentor. So you'll be coming back with me, Redeema. I don't know where the others of you will go. It depends on where Jamie puts everybody. All right. So I think she's ready to have us come, but I'm not seeing a note from her. You know what? Let's go ahead and there we go. Okay. All right. Okay.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. All right. Okay, good. So Melissa, you are the mentor.
Yes.
Okay. And Redeema, you're going to coach Samantha. Okay. All right. So Melissa, as the mentor today, what are you focusing on for your mentoring?
So I wrote a few things down when Jamie asked Ray earlier. I was like, what do I want
to Okay, do? Good.
So obviously looking for the competencies,
okay,
but also maybe noticing if there's anywhere where I could help the coach raise their awareness of why they're asking specific questions, seeing how, like, the reasons maybe behind it a little bit and why they might be doing that, and then offer my feedback in an encouraging way. Like, sometimes I think I tell more than I offer feedback, so I feel sometimes I come across maybe a bit harsh in giving feedback, so I'd like to be more encouraging,
okay,
and reflective with the clients in the process.
All right, great, wonderful. Okay, good. So excuse me, you'll talk with the coach, with Redeema, for a couple minutes and let her know she has 20 minutes for the coaching. Then you have 10 minutes for the mentoring, and then you and I will work together. And also make sure to ask her what she wants to be focusing on in her coaching.
Yeah, awesome.
Okay? Okay, good.
Thanks,
all right,
Sherry.
Please go right ahead. The rest of us are going to turn off our videos.
Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you.
Who's Redeema? Oh, and who's Redeema coaching? Samantha, I think.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, is your video off specifically, Samantha?
Well, you were going to talk to Redeema first, so I was honoring that.
Oh, okay, thank you. All right. Hi, Redeema. You're on mute still.
Sorry. Hi, Melissa.
No worries. That's okay. How are you feeling today?
I'm okay. I'm okay. Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thank you. Very well. So today I would like to check in with you. What do you want to focus on in your skills as a coach while you're mentoring Samantha?
I think being present. I mean, just as you asked me how I was, it's absolutely boiling here today. I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, same for you, right? So it's kind of, you know, I struggle when my physical environment isn't, you know, helping in terms of, you know, clarity and everything being clear and, you know, so yeah, I just need to ignore the heat and focus on the coaching. So I think being present is the thing I'd like to try with today.
Okay, awesome. Definitely. And it sounds like that it is challenging, right? To think clearly when your mind and your body is telling you otherwise.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, awesome. What else, if anything, would you like to focus on?
No, I think that's a good way of describing it, mind and body, because, you know, that is it, isn't it? It's a case of I'm trying to concentrate, my body's struggling in some fashion. So just trying to 100% focus and listen and not, not zone out because I'm thinking, oh gosh, I'm just melting. So I'm just trying to, yeah, that's the key thing, I think, really consistently listening.
Okay, awesome. Thank you for sharing. So you're going to coach Samantha for 20 minutes and then you'll keep your time on that. So when you're ready, just call me back and then I'll mentor you for 10 minutes.
Okay, thank you. How's that sound? Yeah, perfect. Appreciate it.
Okay, so I'll switch my video and then when you're ready.
Okay, thank you. Hi, Samantha. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks for asking. How are you, Redeema?
Yes, very well. Thank you. Can I ask, would you prefer to keep your video on? Would you prefer to keep your video off? What would be best
for
you?
Makes no difference to me.
Okay. Okay. All right. Well, maybe we can stay with videos then, if that's okay.
Sure.
So what would you like to get out of the 20 minutes that we have today?
This has been, I've been thinking about what I wanted to talk about since our last class, and I'm in a lot of coaching situations, and so I get coached all the time. So I think let's talk about how to even put this. So I have some coworkers who have been disrespectful to me, and I've had some one-on-one chats with them, and they're very nice in the one-on-ones, and then the next time we're in a public meeting, they're an ass to me, quite frankly. And I want to talk about that, because I don't know that I need resolution on this today, but it's something that's on my mind. It's something that's kept me up at night. So it's troubling me.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing. What would you like to get out of the 20 minutes specifically that we have today? What do you think would bring you, what you're looking for with this particular situation?
I think it's just discovery at this point, more than anything else. Discover why am I reacting the way I am? Why does my frustration go up? You know, those kinds of things. I don't think, like I said, I don't know that there's a specific resolution that will come from this. I want to just kind of explore it and see what does come up for me. And if I have any new thoughts about it. I've been mostly thinking about this inside my own head. And oftentimes for me, getting it out and having kind of like someone hearing me can really create some good energy about how I might work with this.
Yeah. Okay. So if I'm hearing you correctly, you would like more self-discovery on why you are feeling the way that you're feeling about it. And also maybe further clarity on or other new ways of unraveling it, maybe.
Yep, exactly.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for clarifying. So where shall we start?
So let me just tell you a little bit about what's happened so far without going too deep. So in a meeting I was with this individual where it was a group of us, he cut me off several times and basically told me to shut up, and not saying shut up, but basically saying shut up. And it really disturbed me. And so I asked for a one-on-one with him. And when we got together, he's like, yeah, I'm sorry, I was tired, I was grouchy, it was a hard day, yada, yada, yada. And we had a really nice talk. And I'm like, well, how would you like to go forward with this? Because that really wasn't very comfortable for me, and it didn't feel very good. He's like, well, I'll be sure to really watch my language and, you know, pay attention that I'm not cutting you off and so on and so forth. And then in the very next meeting, he was even ruder. He was like, look, I don't want to talk about what you're talking about anymore. We've gone through this as a group. And I'm like, I'm new. I don't know what you've been through. So if you don't tell me, I don't know. And he's like, well, I'm shutting this down right here because I have better things to do. And he doesn't behave that way towards the gentleman on the call. And it really upset me. I mean, it angered me a lot. And in the next meeting that this group had together, one of the people said, "Would you like to drop out?" And it's really not something I want to drop out of, but I don't want to be treated that way either. And I feel like once, shame on you, twice, shame on me, right? So I think, God, this is like bringing up all kinds of stuff for me. I think next time I need to say, "You're not shutting me down. I need these answers. This is not, I'm not giving you a choice. If you don't want to do it in this meeting, that's fine, but set up another meeting and explain it to me. Because it's leaving me really handicapped in my job." And the reality is I've kind of checked out of this situation, which makes me sad because it was something I was interested in. And then on top of that, he and a more senior fellow went off and did the work and then came back and told the two other, myself and the other guy who are newer, "Oh, we just went and did this." And it was like, wow, do you have any idea the impact you're having on the people around you? And it made me really not want to be there. Mm. So that there was an aha moment there of this last time I kind of let him do that to me, and next time I don't have to. Mm. If he starts launching at me like that again, I can be like, "Whoa, stop right there. That's not appropriate." Because I do stick up for myself most of the time. But I'm in a new group and I'm in a new job and I'm trying to not rock the boat. And honestly, I think I'm getting to the point where I don't give a crap if I rock the boat and tip the damn thing over.
Thank you for sharing that. And, you know, for allowing yourself to be vulnerable with me. I really appreciate that. And I just want to say, you know, I'm sorry to hear that someone treated you that way and made you feel that way. And I just want to ask, what are you the most proud of out of all of this? I realize it was a shoddy situation, but what can you look yourself in the mirror and say you are proud of?
Well, I've grown up a lot in the last 10 years as I've started coaching. And so instead of raging against him in the call, I waited till the call was over and I reached out to him and I was like, "Let's have a little chat, you and I." And before, I just would have blown up on the call and told him to F off, quite frankly. So I am proud that even though he's being an ass, I am being calm, steady, and staying present and doing the right things. So there's some pride in that.
Awesome. Well, congratulations for staying calm, because that's quite hard to do. And, you know, that's something a lot of people struggle with, me included. So, you know, congratulations for staying calm. That's important, I think. So I know that your goal for this session was to try and get a bit more clarity on, you know, why you feel the way you feel.
Yeah.
But I'd also just like to explore with you, why do you think he behaves this way?
Well, I'm starting to get some insight into that. He has been really private with me. Even in our one-on-one, we mostly talked about he runs a kitten cam, or he was running a kitten cam. So we did a lot talking about that. But I got a message this morning that said, from him to our entire team, that said something to the effect of, "I am going to be offline. I'm going back to be with my father. He's not in good shape. I had to fly home from my father's to help my wife through her COVID." And it's like, oh my God, this guy is dealing with, why is he even at work at all? I guess I have enough self-care instincts to say, okay, I'm dealing with too much crap. I need to step away. Thanks, everybody. Somebody else needs to take my place for a little while. You know, I'll do my best to help transfer stuff. But if I'm in this deep, I need to just not be here. Because it's like, it sounds like his father's in the midst of dying. And his wife got COVID while he was out with his father the first time. And he didn't share any of that in our one-on-one. So he opted to just kind of put up all shields. But then he shared this big message with the team this morning that goes to everybody. So it's interesting to me that on one hand, he's quite open and vulnerable with the whole team. But when we had our one-on-one, he didn't express any of the stuff that was going on for him.
So I noticed you say that you found this out recently.
Yeah, this morning.
Right. So does that change how you feel about the situation?
No, because I don't care how crappy of a day I'm having. If I treat you like crap, that's on me. Right? I might say, Redeema, I can't be with you right now. I'm dealing with something bigger than I can handle. And I'm really sorry. I don't mean to let you down, but I need to step away because I'm an adult. I've got big girl pants. I pull them up. I use them. And in this group that I'm in, we're supposed to be senior and lead agile coaches that are above this kind of BS and be professional, especially to one another. Right? Because, you know, you got to work with me for the next 20 years.
So if the big question that you had for today was, you know, why do you feel this way about this situation? What do you think is the answer to that now that we've talked about this a little bit more?
I think I get caught up in my black and white thinking. And I have this thing about fairness. I want things to be fair. And I feel like this is unfair. It's like, I'm a new coach. I'm doing my best. I'm showing up. I'm doing my thing. Can't you just show me a little respect? And so it feels really unfair to be crapped on so early. You know, I just passed my 90 days. Can't you wait till I've been here for a while? Aren't we still in the honeymoon phase?
So what's important to you about being treated fairly?
I've gotten the short end of the stick way too many times in my life. So there's a part of me that's kind of wondering, well, if he's, you know, the imposter syndrome, right? There's a part of me wondering, oh my God, if he's treating me this way, does he not see me as a good coach? You know, am I failing in some way by asking too many questions? Am I not picking it up soon enough or fast enough? And so there's a lot of that going on for me as well.
Okay.
And quite honestly, Redeema, I kind of decided, just sitting here, the one really nice thing about this job is I get to decide what I do. We're kind of like our own, you know, what do you call it? Entrepreneurs. I'm just not going to work with him. And I'm going to pull out of that group that was important to me. So I just don't have to deal with it. And I'm just kind of done. Because it isn't fair and it's not right the way he's treating me. And even though some of that work is interesting to me, there's other work that's equally interesting where I can work with people that I know are going to treat me right. Because I think if enough people start saying, oh, he is hard to work with, he becomes the problem. And several other people have kind of come to me. One of my superpowers is people tell me things, have come to me and said, wow, I've had a really hard time with this guy. And so thinking about what's fair to me, if I let go of that imposter syndrome stuff, is not to have to deal with that.
Okay, that's interesting. So sounds like you've had maybe an idea for how to protect yourself, I guess, from his
BS.
Yeah. Okay. So when you think about the idea of pulling out of that group, what's your instinctive feeling?
Well, there's a little bit of sadness because there was some interest on my side. It's leading product people, and so it's for leadership. But I think there's other places I could go be with leadership and coaching leadership that would be much more helpful, where I'm not at odds, because I can only imagine how that would show up if we went to a coaching assignment together, because we often pair coach. How would that show up? Mm. That would not be ideal to have me tell him to shut the F up in the middle of a coaching session with a client. Right? So there's some level of, I think I'm willing to one-on-one with him because he was decent there, but and I can't help but wonder now about his personal situation impacting. Actually, I just found this out during our break today. So it's like, it's so new. And I mean, so I can't help but wonder if his personal situation, if it gets resolved, if that would change his behavior.
Okay. So it sounds like, as well as coming up with a potential solution, you've also given some thought to, you know, how you might manage your relationship with him in the future and how maybe that dynamic might change if things change for him personally.
Yeah. I think it's a two-pronged approach here. One is to get my butt out of that group. We do committees to get myself out of that committee. And then, and I don't think that's going to be a hardship. I think other people were frustrated with the bickering kind of thing that was going on, where I was asking questions that were, by the way, perfectly relevant. It wasn't like I was like, oh, is the sky blue? Oh, I feel myself trying to talk myself out of imposter syndrome there. Sorry. Anyway, I think that, like I said, there's two. There's deal with them on a personal level. Try not to be in any committees with them at a professional level. Now, he's in another committee where I've not had to interact with him, but he's also the co-chair of another committee. And I've talked to the other committee member and I said, look, I've had some difficulties within this individual. And he was like, so have I. And so the other guy said, if you have those kinds of problems with him, you need to come to me because I will deal with it. And I'm like, well, normally I'd speak up for myself, but knowing that I have an advocate in this committee does make a big difference to me. So I think I'll stick to that committee, but he's never shown up for a single meeting for that committee. So I don't know how invested he is in that space.
Okay. So just circling back to your original goal now, we're nearly out of time. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much closer do you think you are in self-discovery?
I feel like a good solid 10 here. I feel like I didn't just do discovery. I have plans for how to move forward with it.
Okay, fantastic. And I know that you made reference there to imposter syndrome, by the way, and that you described feeling as though, you know, you're trying to talk yourself out of imposter syndrome. Maybe that's something we can pick up in another session. But as we're pretty much out of time, let me just ask you, you know, what do you think was the most valuable thing out of the session today?
Just getting it out of me, out of my head, and having someone I feel comfortable sharing with. Redeema, I picked this because I know you live in my world, right?
Yeah.
And so I felt safe with you knowing your background. So it was important. I think I would have picked something a little less agile-y. Although I guess it kind of was personal. It was, to me, having someone to talk to that could understand and be empathetic, which you were, and just get it off my chest because I feel a lot lighter. So maybe the lightness is the best takeaway for me.
Great. I'm really, really happy to hear that. That's fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing. Thank you for being open.
and really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Redeema.
Hi, Melissa. Oh, I think you're on mute.
Yes, sorry. I know the thing popped up and it said, you are muted.
Okay, we'll take it in turns to do that.
It was a wonderful session to watch, and I really enjoyed the energy in the session. So how do you feel that that went?
I'm really happy to hear that Samantha felt lighter. I think as humans, that's probably really what, you know, the goal is when you're feeling, you know, that you're battling with something or that something's gone wrong for you. So to feel lighter, I think is, you know, that's nice to hear from a client. So I think hearing that was lovely. But also, I mean, she just looked visibly lighter. So it was just really lovely to see Samantha change towards the end as she, you know, as she started ideating on what she could do about it as well.
Yeah, definitely. And you were definitely part of that partnering process to allow her to vent and to express her emotions in a safe place. So kudos on that. So you want to do work on your presence and your focus in the session and listening consistently because of the heat around you. So how do you feel you performed in this area?
Well, I was quite, I think, when Samantha said she didn't mind keeping the cameras on or switching them off, I kind of thought, let's try with them on. because it's just when you can see the person that you're coaching. And don't get me wrong, I haven't done as much coaching with people where cameras are being shared. I've done some, but most of it is with video footage off. But the thing I've noticed is that if I am, you know, struggling from some kind of a distraction, the video helps. So I, as soon as Samantha said she was okay with it, I was like, video.
Awesome.
So yeah.
Yeah. And I'm hearing that that is accountability to you to sort of be more present in the session because you have to look at her.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, awesome. So what I noticed there, like if I looked at the core competencies, right? Like you met every single one of them, like you focused, like you said, the video, you kind of looked at her the whole time you were present with her in the room. You managed your emotions really well. I knew you were hot and uncomfortable and didn't come across at all. You demonstrated comfort working with strong emotions because Samantha had a lot of strong emotions in the session. So you definitely had that presence in showing that you were able to hold that emotion. You were also very curious about the situation, what was going on, and then also allowed a lot of space for her. And that all falls under that core competency. So I think you did really well there.
Thank you.
Sure. So some other areas that I thought that you did really well was you set up the start of the coaching agreement really well, and then asked her, where shall we start? So like, what should we address to help you to gain some more clarity? So that was really well. I think you did a really good job as well of evoking awareness. So you also asked her questions about what did you learn here, what did you learn today, asking her what was working well so far that she had been doing, so championing the stuff that is already working. So I thought that was all really great. Some one or two areas for development that I picked up on was, and I want to check this maybe with some other mental coaches who are higher, like Sherry, on what is normal here. But a lot of words that came out was thank you for sharing and I'm sorry to hear and me included. And I'm wondering why maybe you include the thank yous and I'm included in this. Like, why are you maybe using some of that language?
I guess the thank yous are because I felt that
Samantha was sharing, you know, something really horrible that, you know, had happened, and she was, you know, visibly upset about it. And I guess I just wanted to give her a bit of kudos for that, because sharing that, you know, particularly with me, who perhaps obviously Samantha hasn't known for that long, I felt I just wanted to sort of appreciate that she was, you know, sharing this. So that's what the thank yous were for. And the, what did I say, me too, or that can be, oh, keeping calm can be, you know, is something lots of people typically, you know, can struggle with in situations like that, myself included. I think I said something like that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I just wanted to make her feel that, that it was a human response, and that, you know, actually, you know, being angry is the human response, but her ability to be calm was something she'd mastered, I guess, that is difficult to master for a lot of people. And I think the reason I said specifically, you know, myself included, I think I just wanted to reach out to her and almost in camaraderie to say, you know, hey, this is, you know, that's a very human struggle that, you know, everyone can relate to, certainly me as well. So I think it was a rapport building, like if I really break it down analytically, maybe it was like rapport building, but also inviting Samantha to feel comfortable and understood in what she was sharing, I think.
Okay. Yeah, and of course it's natural to want to make the client feel safe, right? And to make them feel that they're experiencing is normal and natural.
Yeah.
And so it sounds like that was a different form of acknowledging and validating for you, like a way that you share that with the clients. How true is
that's
that?
A much more efficient way of saying what I said. Yes, exactly that.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then maybe one other area that I noticed for growth was in the beginning, maybe a little bit more, there was a lot more coaching around the story. And then towards the end, you started coaching Samantha, who believes emotions and feelings. So you did get there, but that was just something that I noticed, that maybe for the use of the time of the session to coach her beliefs and emotions a little bit early on. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think it's a fair point. I think my struggle, I think, may have been the 20 minutes, because I'm used to 45 minute sessions. So I think that was something I found a little bit more challenging. It was just slightly outside of my comfort zone. So I felt like I didn't want to rush her. But then at the same time, I did feel that what she was saying at the beginning, even in explaining the story, I felt was relevant to her own self-discovery, because the way that Samantha was describing the story, it was like she was relaying, you know, what happened, but intermittently she was also reflecting on, you know what, now I look back at it, he did this because of this. So it was a bit like, at the time, I think I saw it as relevant in terms of the goal of more self-awareness because of the way that she was recapping it all. But I agree that perhaps I could have been a bit more efficient in terms of inviting her to focus on how she was feeling in the moment rather than describing the situation as such.
That's awesome. Well, that it makes a lot of sense that the session had a lot of energy and a lot of venting and a lot of exploring. So
yeah,
it sounds like you also partnered with Samantha to really support her through that expressing of the emotions as well.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah.
Awesome, Redeema. I think you did a really, really good job. you make so many core competencies. I haven't ticked them all off because it's to be able to tick them all off, but I definitely noticed that, and congratulations on a job well done.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks, Melissa.
Awesome. Thank you.
And that was, oh, by the way, even the developmental suggestions that you've made, they're spot on, because the time thing was hard. I think in hindsight, maybe that should have been the thing I made. Now I'll make that my goal in the next session. I think we're probably doing we probably all get more than one go, I hope, right, Sherry? So I'll make that my goal next time. Yeah, I think to manage the time even better.
Okay. All right. Melissa, nice work. Really great mentoring session. Yeah, really, really well done.
Thanks.
How was it for you?
Yeah, good. Thanks. I think I'm not sure of some things that I gave as growth areas, especially the thank you for sharing part. Like, I know that's what at my coaching school we've been taught maybe not to do so much. So I'm curious a little bit about what your thoughts are on that, and if it's something that's I don't know what the word is, something that's normal.
Yeah. I think that when you notice something like that, it's really great to bring it up with your mentee, absolutely, and have a conversation. I might, instead of calling it a growth area or growth opportunity, I might just have the conversation. In other words, I noticed that you said a couple of times, what was it we were just talking about? Not the thank yous, but the...
Yeah, the thank you for sharing, or I'm sorry to hear, and me included. Like,
right, those things. So yeah. So I might just say to her, I noticed that you said that. What was happening for you there? Or I noticed that you said that. Typically I think, because if this is how you've been trained and this is what you believe, Melissa, it's fine to bring that in. You know, so you could say, I find that it's more helpful to say this instead, or ask a question instead, or whatever it is you're talking about. But what my point is, instead of calling it a growth opportunity or area, it may be, it may not be, right? But it's just talk about what it is that you heard.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thanks, yeah. Sherry.
But yeah. I absolutely think you should bring it up. Yeah. And bring it to your clients, to your mentees' notice. You know, it doesn't mean it's egregious. It's not something that she absolutely has to change, maybe. But again, it's something good to have the conversation about and something for her to think about. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I think you did such a good job. You asking her what she wanted to focus on, of course, at the beginning, being present, 100% focus. And then you asked her immediately, how do you feel you did that? You gave her those kudos for the partnering that she did. And then you talked about the presence and the focus, asking her about that. You said you demonstrated all the competencies and you mentioned some of them, and you mentioned how she managed her emotions with that, which I think is an important one for this particular coaching conversation, mm-hmm. because it was, there were a lot of emotions coming from Samantha, from the client. And so I think that was a really great point that you made back to Redeema, how well she managed her emotions as the coach during that session. You said other areas you did well, how she started, the awareness, the evoking awareness that was happening when she was asking questions like, what did you learn, et cetera. So I think you did a really nice job of having some specific examples of what she did really well and the competencies that she was demonstrating really well. Did you notice that?
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, good. Okay. Yeah, so again, I think also you were very conversational, because when you did mention those points that we already talked about, you know, the sort of development points, you did ask her, what did she think about that? So that's such an important piece, I think, of being a great mentor, is being conversational. It's so much about the style and about the partnership between mentor and mentee. And you have such a good sense of that, Melissa. You know, you're very conversational. So that's, to me, that's like the primary skill of a mentor. So yeah, so really nicely done, really nicely done. Yeah, so those are my notes for you. What do you think? What do you, as you're thinking about all this that I've just shared, what are you taking from this?
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thank you. I appreciate all the things that you noticed that I did well. I would like to maybe ask, what would be one area for growth or improvement within my style of mentoring, things I could raise or not raise?
I think it's what we talked about. I think instead of using we talk about it here in class, the growth opportunities, right? We talk about it here within the class. I think with your mentee, it's just a matter of, I think, just shifting that language a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So would the growth opportunities then more be related to the competencies? Because that was just a noticing thing that I noticed. It wasn't directly related to the competencies. So would the growth areas then be, this is an area of competency that you could have used in this situation? Or what?
Yeah, right. I guess my hesitation about saying here's a growth opportunity is that then it sort of puts it in a box.
Okay.
And or names it, you know, and labels it, I guess. And instead of labeling it, I think it can be more helpful to leave it more open as you have that conversation with someone. Again, it's fine to notice what you notice and to say, you know, when you said that, or you could even say, Melissa, you might even say, you know, I've always been trained that that we don't really want to do that in coaching, right? And what do you think about that? And then have that conversation with your mentee.
Yeah, thanks. I appreciate that, because it's so funny. Whenever I say that, this is the opportunities for growth, I feel my energy go raw, and then the client's energy goes raw, and then we're all uncomfortable.
Right. So, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's sort of that labeling thing, right? Yeah.
Thank you for that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Let's check in with Redeema. Redeema, what's your feedback for Melissa? What was it like to be mentored today?
Yeah, it was really good. I completely agree with what you said, Sherry, about Melissa's conversational style. I think you feel very comfortable. It feels very comfortable to, you know, to hear what you think, because you don't come across as, you know, scary to be doing this with. There's something about your energy that is quite approachable. So I really felt that. It's interesting about the thank you thing. I've not been trained not to say that. So that one's really, I'm glad you mentioned it, because I've never thought about it I've never really wondered, should I or should I not be doing that? So that's a new one for me to kind of go away and chew on a little bit. And I have a feeling that just because I have a feeling that that's just me as a, you know, as a style thing, but I don't know if it's one that I'm willing to change, because I feel like it's just so ingrained in me, because I just feel that if someone's sharing something that is really upsetting to them, my instinct is, you know, thank you for being vulnerable with me. Because I think I hate vulnerability with myself. So I just, if I'm vulnerable with somebody else, I see it as a big deal. So I think for that reason, but I've never thought about it. So the fact that you mentioned it has given me lots of food for thought. So I don't know what I'll do with that. But the fact that I'm thinking about it now, whereas it wasn't on my radar at all, is valuable. So yeah, I thought it was really good. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Regina. The coach in me wants to ask you a question about that, but I won't now. Thank you.
Thanks, Redeema. And, you know, I think that's such a good point that you're making as you know, from mentoring, that there are new ideas maybe that come out in a mentoring session, right? Something to, go away and think about. And you may say, no, I'm not going to change that. That's, you know, that works for me. Again, it's not an example of something an egregious thing, you know, that you'd want to change. Like if you were to say, if you were to give advice or to, you know, start talking about yourself, well, yeah, those are things you do want to change, right? If somebody was coaching in that way. This is a different kind of an example, but my point is it's so valuable to have the conversation about some of these things and new ideas, right? To think about and to, do you want to add that in, incorporate that to the coaching or change this or that? And sometimes it can be something like, you know, often I'll hear coaches really focused on the we and instead of the you. And I always want to bring that up to my mentees, you know, because that is something that they need, I think they need to change. Because if it's too much about the we or about them as the coach, then, you know, the focus is coming on. Not that you did that at all. I'm just using another example of something that you might want to make sure that to talk about. But we all come up with different things that we want to focus on in mentoring too. So anyway. All right. So good job, Melissa. Thank you very, very much. Thanks, Redeema. And let's see if...
Thanks, Samantha.
Yes, thanks.
Yes. I'll check in with Jamie over there and see if she's ready to bring us back. Thanks for coming back, Samantha and Ray. Okay, good. All right. Good. Any comments or noticing from the mentoring today?
So for me, I feel like I need to express myself. Those thank yous were doors for me. They were, okay, she is there for me. So I was absolutely blown away when Melissa brought that up. I'm like, oh my God, it's something I do too. And do I need to be, now I need to pay attention to this, because what if I'm doing that and it has another meaning and it's not really just my thanks for you being vulnerable and sharing with me. So now I have to go think about that too.
Yeah.
Well,
and as you're saying that, thanks for sharing that, Samantha. And, you know, as you're saying that, I'm realizing that, you know, a default to always say thank you may not be the best, but in a particular conversation or when there is a lot of vulnerability brought up, you know, by the client, then maybe that is fine to do. So it's also a question, I think, for all of us, when to use it, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jerry, I have one question I want to ask Redeema.
Okay.
How can you acknowledge the vulnerability without saying thank you for sharing? That would be my coaching question.
Mm-hmm. Good point. I think I'm coming at it from a usually I wouldn't have the video on perspective. So if I don't have the video on, then I think maybe that's where the thank you came from. And I agree. I think if there wasn't so much feeling in what was being spoken about, I wouldn't say thank you. Like if somebody just said, oh, I'm having a stressful week, I wouldn't be like, oh, thanks for sharing that. I'd be like, well, you know, okay, go from there. But if the video's on, which it only sometimes tends to be, maybe it can be more facial. But then I don't know how to say thank you with my face. I don't know. But I don't know. Like that's something maybe I need to think about. It's a good question. I don't know. It's definitely.
It is a good question, and it's a question you could certainly ask it within a mentoring session, Melissa.
Okay.
You could ask that question. And you could also share what you do, because that's a part of a mentor too, to give new ideas.
Okay.
So you could definitely, so that's the question for you. How do you do that, Melissa?
Well, I would say to Samantha, I can sense that this is maybe challenging for you right now to be sharing these emotions. And I just want to acknowledge the courage that it's taking to be vulnerable in this moment.
Okay. Okay, great.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So thank you for that, Sherry. That's something that you can do.
No, it's very good. So lots of layers here, right? What we do in a coaching session, what you do in a mentoring session. Mm-hmm. And absolutely, all of this can be a part of a mentoring session. ask the question, have the conversation. What would something different be? Here's what I do sometimes. I give a lot of ideas of different questions and or different, to a mentee when I'm working with somebody, you know, because that's, they like that too. That's, you know, that can be really helpful to your mentee to hear something. Oh yeah. Okay. There's a question. Okay. That sounds good. I want to use that. So yeah. Okay.
I like your line though, Melissa. I might steal that, because that, what you were saying about, oh, I'd really like to acknowledge your, you know, courage, you know, that is what I was trying to say in the thank you. So maybe it comes across better in, I'll try your line, basically. I'll try it on like a dress and see how it feels. but it's nice to experiment, actually. So thank you for sharing, you know, an alternative way of getting that point across.
Did you notice what you just said? You said, thank you for sharing.
I'm not saying thank you to any of you anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I can't help it because I'm British. So I'm like, just, it's ingrained in me to be polite.
I do it with love. This is it. I love this.
Dang, I'm in trouble because I can't fall back on the British.
I was trained to say thank you too, even though I'm not British, but you know.
yeah, but we say it all the time. Like someone could step on your foot and you apologize.
Yeah.
You apologize even though someone else stepped on your foot.
That's uh-huh. British. Gotcha. That's gotcha. Classic. Okay. All right. Jamie's telling me we need 1 minute. I know you need to go in just a minute, Samantha. So what I'm gonna do is, and if we don't get back to the big group in a timely fashion. Just wanted to mention and notice that Jamie will not be with us next week. So we're just going to have the two. We won't go do a breakout room. We'll all stay together in the main room. We'll have one session, then we'll take our break and have another session. And so that's what we're doing next week, just so you know. All right. Here she's inviting us back. Okay.
I have to go. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Samantha. Bye. Take care.
Bye.